Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So, Sean, you asked me which side I was going to sit on today because you have to, assess that and then position the. You don't position the cameras, but you pick the camera that's going to be on for our stream. So I'm sitting on John's side because the camera that I would normally sit in front of has an issue. And, of course, our social team sends me a text right before the show starts. Hey, can you sit on the good camera side, please? I mean, if you could have just looked at the stream. But you sent the text to me. Okay, that's Sam. She's the head of our social team. In fact, she is she is our social team. She was a star of the John Land Show earlier this morning. Mustaches in, body hair out, according to Sam. Shave, guys. Groom. Just find a way to not be so hairy unless it's above your lip. Then she doesn't mind it. So that's where we're at.
Keep it all right there. The 1 inch under your nose.
Yeah, that space between your nose and your lip, she's good with it. Maybe as much hair as possible. As long as that probably has to be maintained too. She's looking for a cowboy, guys. She's looking for a cowboy. Or at least a reasonable facsimile. I don't know if you have the Bronco bus. I don't know if you have to rope a calf. I don't know what she's actually looking for. But at least give off the impression that you could do all those things. Sam, great member of the team. You heard her here earlier this morning. Okay, Sean, we talked about this yesterday. What did we want from Justin Verlander? He kind of gave us what we asked for.
The Kikuchi standard.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get through six. He got through five, the 75 pitches or so. He gave up a couple runs early. He did it early. The thing he did not do was, you know, get Duran out of it and not give up runs. That guy just wrecked the Astros all series long, and Sean's jersey's in the mail. So it's great for Sean that his favorite player got it done again. Too bad it was at the expense of his favorite team. But sometimes you have to realize that your favorite player trumps your favorite team. Maybe Sean's going to be one of those guys who puts Duran Muse in his handle.
Yeah.
And has, instead of it being Sean A. Mapes or a picture of himself or something else, it's just one of those StatMuse pictures of Duran as he lit the Astros up particularly early as he closed out Tuesday with the game winning home run, and he started the game off with the scoring. He's a heckler. He has been, at least here, kind of dominant. Thankfully, the Astros got game one, but Duran, a big part of Boston winning the series. So the Astros dropped 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. They go on the road coming up here. They go to Baltimore. And that's great because it means Jordan won't be Jake Myers. We talked about this yesterday. Who was Jake Myers? And we thought he was Jake Marisnyk. Well, let's see what makes you feel better. Jake Myers is Jordan Alvarez at home, or Jordan Alvarez is Jake Myers at home. It's all about how you phrase it.
I like the first one better.
Yeah, I bet. We'll get into some of the numbers, but it came up on the morning show. I said it half jokingly, although I knew this was the case, that Yordan Alvarez had not hit a home run since June 22nd at home. We're on 60 days or so since he last hit a home run at home. And then I got to thinking, he's kind of been overall really subpar at home. He's Hall of Fame-like on the road. The OPS over 1,100 on the road. Thankfully, he gets to go on the road. I imagine he'll have a great series in Baltimore because that's just what he does. But at home, he's Jake Myers-like. The OPS is very, very similar. Batting average. Yordan, I think he has 25 home runs this year. He's only hit 8 at home. I ain't saying that anyone who's on the opponent, who's an opponent, treats Jake Myers and Yordan Alvarez the same at Minute Maid, but the production's the same for whatever reason. Just not happened to be a good year for Yordan at home. Can't really explain it. It's not as bad really as what the Astros were at home last year, but the fact that one of your best players simply can't get it done at home, it's not great, and he had a bad last at bat as the Astros were trying to stay in it yesterday. So it is what it is. You are still ahead in AOS by a healthy amount because the Mariners continue to lose games. Now, Jimmy Rollins, he was on, like, I believe it was Bleacher Report show. I think it's called Walk Off. And he was asked a simple question. Now, this town, and rightfully so, believes this Astro team can duplicate some of their past postseason success. There's just a belief in the team, kind of no matter who's out there, that they'll find a way. And you should, because they've backed up your belief over the last decade or so. Well, Jimmy Rollins is not one of those believers. He was asked about the Astros and what they can be as far as a postseason contender, and this is what he said.
Do you think the Astros are back? And in that sense, like, back as in World Series contenders?
No. I think they're hot right now. Bregman has had a heck of a turnaround. They're playing good baseball, but in a bad division. So with that said, I say no.
Do you think?
Simple as that. He doesn't believe the Astros and this recent run is going to lead to postseason success. Okay, I didn't get more of the clip, so I don't know if there was any more of that. Did he elaborate? Because it's not like they only play division teams. You don't play 100-plus games against your division, and that determines your stand, where you are in the standings. Now, of course, you play more against them, but the Astros have been able to go into Boston and sweep them and beat up on the Orioles. Now, of course, Boston did take 2 out of 3 here, but it doesn't make that much sense. Only if he means that they would not be leading their division in a good division, in a division he deems as good, because we know the Mariners have been bad, and the Rangers and the A's and the Angels aren't good either. So that's the only thing I can take from that. If that's what he means, okay, it's understood. But since they were bad, they've been one of the best teams in baseball, taking on all comers. The problem is it's only a 15-second clip. If there was more context, if it was a podcast, maybe he would have went on to say that he doesn't believe in their pitching down the stretch. He thinks Hunter Brown isn't going to be a guy who can last, and Kikuchi, all the things you could probably pick at when it comes to the Astros. But that simple statement doesn't ring true to me as far as some analysis. But hey, that's one dissenter, and I guess he can look at what happened in the Boston series and go, see, I told you. But it's just one series. We're like less than 2.5 weeks from the Astros sweeping Boston in Boston. So they dropped 2 out of 3. They'll move on. It's fine. This is a playoff team. And Bregman was back in the lineup yesterday. The good news is he hit a home run in his first at bat, leading off from the DH position. But the DH thing is probably the bigger thing. He is going to spend more time not playing in the field because of his elbow. Bregman says there's no structural damage. He says he doesn't even really hurt it when he's doing baseball things. It's more if he has to put his arm in an awkward angle. Well, baseball things, I would put it this way. He said it wasn't when he's hitting or throwing. It's when his arm has to be in an awkward angle or when he sleeps weird, which is an Astros injury for 2024. If I sleep weird, my elbow swells.
I think he just threw that in there to throw the
people off.
To throw a bone to whoever crafted the Bregman just slept
the
weird
initial
narrative.
Report. Okay.
Yeah. Because
maybe.
because it's like it's an awkward position, you know, and he, you know, a bunch of normal things. And also, if I sleep wrong,
it swells.
And he looks straight into the camera
and gives a little wink. Yeah. Wink. Doing you a favor there, buddy. Yeah. So he is expected to fight through this. He's going to obviously try to manage the swelling. We're just going to see more of him in a position that doesn't really – it helps because he's out there, but it'd be more beneficial if he played third base so you could give Yordan that DH role, or maybe you want to make Yiner the DH a couple of days a week, depending on. But Bregman's now a candidate for that more – maybe not more often than not, but more often than you would like, as Joe Espada is going to have to try to manage that lineup. So that's the news at the Astros game against the Red Sox yesterday. Verlander, good enough. Just didn't get enough from the guys at the plate. And Bregman, back, but will have to be managed going forward. The Texans right now are in the middle of joint practices. They're going against the Rams. CJ's favorite quarterback, Matt Stafford's on the field. I believe he threw a pick in maybe one of the first reps of 11-on-11. That's Matt Stafford. So certainly if any news comes out of there, hopefully there's no injuries, but once practice is over, I'm sure we'll get sound from that. And if it's relevant, we'll play it. And certainly throughout the rest of the day, the guys will get to some of that stuff as well. So going forward on the show, you know, we like to close the loop on things. So one prominent football coach has been suspended for a recruiting violation regarding a player. No one should get suspended for recruiting. So we'll talk about that. If you remember, we played audio about Cade McNamara and a bad practice he was having. Well, Kirk Ferentz, he's going to pay the price, at least for a game, for trying to recruit Cade McNamara to Iowa. We'll get to that among other things, including we joked around about the Rockets and all their highlight clips from their time at the Jalen Green hosted camp, where it's just a bunch of guys in a run at the gym, and someone had to put the highlights together. So there's like eight highlight clips. You got Jayshon Tate, Jabari Smith, Jr., Reed Shepard. All those guys are out there. So there is a story in the Bleacher Report we'll get to about the teams expected to have the biggest improvements from last year. And the Rockets one's interesting because they did win 41 games. So improvements probably more about, are they a real playoff team as opposed to having a hot month? Because are they winning 55 games this year? Probably not. But do they go from a team who has a hot month that puts them in playing contention to a team that is solidly in the playoff chase and is a top six seed throughout the season? So we'll get to that, see where the Rockets land amongst the teams expected to have good years. And of course, if any NFL news breaks, like, it's not the biggest news that could break. AJ Terrell signed an extension with the Falcons. I don't think anyone was looking for that, unless you're a Falcon fan who loves themselves some AJ Terrell.
No Lance Horn.
No, it's not a CeeDee Lamb extension or Brandon Ayuk thing or Jamar Chase thing. AJ Terrell's a nice player, but I'm not sure that's the one people are waiting for. So if one of those things breaks, the Lance Horn will hit. I don't imagine they will. Those feel like we're talking about right up to the first day of the regular season before any of those deals get done. But hey, we're here to report the news if it breaks. So we're just getting started here. We'll be back. I can't hear you, but I assume I have a live to do.
Red Bull.
There it is, Sean. Thank you for alerting me to this. Sometimes you forget to look at the rundown, and that's what happens. Red Bull Show Run is something you need to get excited about. It's coming to Houston September 7th at Discovery Green. So you hear Red Bull Show Run. What is that? It's Formula One coming to your city. Now, it's not going to be a race, but the cars will be showcased, the best cars in the world and with the best racing in the world. Those cars that are involved in that, they're coming to Houston. They're going to do things at a high rate of speed. If you want to call them tricks, you can call them tricks. They're going to do some burnouts, among other things. They're going to showcase what those cars are capable of on the streets of Houston at Discover Green. So it's not just about the cars. You're going to be able to learn about Formula One racing as well. They're going to have a fan zone where you can interact with Formula One. It's going to be a learning experience. So it's not just the cars running around track. So if you don't know much about Formula One racing, now's your time to take a look. Discovery Green Red Bull Show Run September 7th here in town. We've seen the races on TV. We've seen the shows dedicated to it on our streaming services. But it's now coming to the city of Houston. September 7th, Discovery Green Red Bull Show Run.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I said as we went to break, there are some things that don't need the horn hit for them. Well, some news broke that does deserve the horn. What is it, Sean?
Hector Neris is re-signing with your Houston Astros.
Look at that. The dream collab that you guys wanted happened. It doesn't always go like this where fans are like, you know what should happen? The Astros should get Hector Neris back. The Astros are like, you know what, guys? You're right. We should get Hector Neris back. So he's back. He was, well, we remember Neris, how big he was. And even beyond that, there's a little, I don't want to call it aura, but there's a little swag to Neris when he's out there striking guys out. The guy likes to talk. He likes to show emotion. So he's back with the in the bullpen. It's big. We don't know when Ryan Presley's coming back. And some people may say, hey, maybe don't come back. I am not of that opinion, despite Ryan Presley's struggles. You need as many accomplished arms as you're chasing another title as you can have. So now, as we look at it, it means there is less importance of Caleb Ort, Caleb Ferguson, and Sean Dubin. You shove them down when it comes to importance, or you move them up in games where they don't have to pitch in high leverage situations, and that's comforting. So at this point, you're looking at Neris, Taylor Scott, who struggled recently, Abreu, and Hader. That feels like the four guys you're going to go to when you need big outs in big situations, at least right now. We'll wait on Presley. Yeah. And I like it. I like the move. It's proactive. You know you needed another arm. And it does ruin the chances of a very funny thing of them having to desperately bring back Montero. That is not in the cards for right now. Maybe Montero is a guy whose arm you lean on in late September when you just need an arm. But at this point, they've rectified at least an issue where a high leverage arm was needed and they go get one where they didn't have to give up anything because Hector Neris was DFA'd. And he, unlike Montero, wasn't like, you know what, I'll take your assignment. Maybe the Astros said, hey, gave him a little nudge, gave his agent a little nudge. Hey, come on in. We got a spot for you.
This assignment.
Yeah, you want this assignment? So yeah, that's cool. What it means is we'll have to wait, honestly. But I'm in. I don't find any negatives behind this move. We know what he can do. We've seen what he can do when it matters. And you're going to need him. Maybe not to win the division. That seems like you've got that wrapped up. But in the playoffs, yeah. Give me Neris. Go get me a couple outs in the sixth inning.
Yeah, like you said, he's a Taylor Scott alternative. He is a plus on the Dubin, King, and Ort and Ferguson, quadrant.
Yeah.
Quintet, if you want to throw in some other jabroni that they've been throwing out there.
Where's jabroni?
Brian King.
Another one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that very low risk and possibly sub reward of... You saw what this pitching staff or this pitching coaching staff has been able to do with other guys they brought in. I mean, Neris was on the team last year, so I'm not sure how much he strayed away from the Astros game plan or the Astros pitch selection that they emphasize while he was in Chicago with the Cubs. But, hey, at the very least, like you said, we needed some aura, and we got some aura from Hector Neris.
Of all people, Hector Neris back in an Astros Goosebumps. Uniform. Well, that's a little strong, but I like it.
Next time he comes in with one out left in the sixth inning.
I'm waiting for him to strike a guy out and bark at him. I'm waiting for it. I love that from Neris. And it's back. Hector Neris is back, folks. So that's a nice move that you can get him back on the cheap for the rest of the season. And I imagine he will be someone who they're going to depend on as soon as he's ready to go. They needed that arm, and they're going to get it. That's cool. That's cool. He was one. He was a fan favorite, of mine, just to watch him go out there. So the fact that he's back and he can help. And he did not have as good of a year as he had with the Astros the last couple, as you might imagine. There's just some magic to being an Astros pitcher, it appears, at least when the law firm or the creative writing team, depending on how you want to call them, Miller and Murphy or Murphy and Miller. Either way, it works.
They're not Weiss and Benioff.
No, no, they are not. But I like what they've done with guys who may have not performed at a certain level, and somehow they get here. I thought the Kikuchi thing might take a while. Did not take a while at all. It was almost it did take like an inning.
It was the second inning of his first start.
It did take an inning for him to get squared away, but he figured it out, and he's been good since. So I expect the same from Neris. It probably isn't fair to just assume that every pitcher they touch is going to work out, but the standard is there. They set a standard that suggests that any time they get a little bit of time to work with someone who may have underachieved in another place, they're gonna figure him out and work it out, and he'll be a contributor. So, Hector Neris.
Unless your first name's Caleb, apparently.
True.
Orton Ferguson.
Ferguson, yeah. Some things are unfixable, maybe.
Aww.
Maybe it'll take a little longer for Ferguson. He's been too long with the Yankees and that crap organization. Just needs a little bit more time here.
A little more time in the oven.
Yeah, he's not ready. I mean, we're slow roasting Caleb Ferguson. He'll be ready at some point. Rotisserie, even.
Hopefully by August or October.
Good luck. Good luck with that one. You would hope, but who knows? Pena, I see you, man. We'll get to you on the other side. Let's stay on time here. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. So the big news of the day, the Astros make an acquisition. They bring back one of their own, Hector Neris, back with the Astros. We'll talk about whatever Pena wants to talk about and whatever you guys want to talk about throughout the rest of the show. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're back, and so is Hector Neris. Once again, an Astro. Pena called in before we left the previous segment, so we'll get to Pena right now. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what up, Dale and Sean? Hey, I need both of y'all's help. So I'm trying to name my fantasy team, and I'm stuck between these three names. Help me out. So the first one is Watts Under the Towel. Watson Under the Towel. Mm-hmm. Until this Dak picks, or show me them TDs. Help me out. Thank you. Have a great day.
What was the second one again?
Unsolicited Dak picks.
Oh, unsolicited Dak picks. Watson under the tower, and show me Watson under the towel. And the last one was show me those TDs. They're not bad.
Yeah,
those are three good ones.
They're three good ones. I mean, the first one. I mean, it's a joke. Understood, but it does have a certain connotation. I think that one's the most clever. Honestly, show me the TDs is fine. I would probably I'd probably go with number one if we decided we're now joking about that situation.
Yeah, enough times passed.
For who?
For Watson.
Oh.
I think it's between one and two. I think it's between Watson under the towels.
Yeah.
And unsolicited Dak picks. I think that's the
If you're a Cowboy hater, obviously you go with
I think it depends how many Cowboy fans are in your league
or if there's one that would be supremely upset and triggered by that name. So there's some context needed, but I think you have to pick between the two, but he's asking for help. One is, I feel like, actually, I'm going to go with two. I think two is actually my choice. Unsolicited Dak picks.
Okay.
I like that one.
I like that one, too, just with the caveat of if it's not going to
land.
If it's not going to land, then
go with one.
Go with one, yes. Because I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but I'm assuming it is a good amount of Texans fans and maybe some Cowboys fans.
Sure.
That's, again, just an assumption.
An assumption. It's just part of the breakdown of the city. There are going to be Cowboy fans that are going to be your friends. And if they're in your fantasy league, go with unsolicited Dak picks as your team name. Thanks, Pena. Speaking of that, I asked Sean for some advice when he gets off the phone. It's vacation advice, or at least packing for me, because I will be out next week. I'm going to my birth state. I don't know if I call it my home state. I grew up in California, but I'm going to Florida to see my mom and family. So, which means I have a week. Sean took a week to play a certain video game. Sean, do I pack the PlayStation and take it on the trip?
How much downtime do you think you're going to be having?
I'm going to have plenty. Trust me. I've done this before. I'm going to have a lot, probably.
Okay. I didn't know how much, you know, it was just you're going to be just chilling at the house.
Yeah, there may be the obligatory dinners you have to go to because you're the cousin who's not there, so you haven't seen a lot of people. So you might go to a dinner or lunch or two. But for the most part, I'm going to have a lot of downtime. So do I pack the PlayStation 5?
I think, were you planning on checking a bag or carrying on?
See, that's the thing. Because of fear of my luggage getting lost, it's never happened, but it could happen. Mm-hmm. I was thinking just instead of putting my laptop in my backpack that I take on, I put the PlayStation 5 in there, put the laptop in the luggage, and go about my business.
Okay. So I like that the choice has been made that, hey, I'm scared of this getting lost.
I'm used to be scared of the laptop getting lost. I'm less scared about that now.
Yeah.
I'm much more scared of the PlayStation 5 getting lost.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you're comfortable with that arrangement. Because I was going to say, if it's like the difference between checking a bag or carrying on, like, don't do that.
No.
It's not worth it.
No.
But if you're going to check a bag anyway, and for safety reasons, you want to keep it on your person at all times.
Yeah, the bag was going to get checked either way, and then I have a carry-on. That's what I do all the time. Check bag, carry-on comes with me. And normally, like I said, the laptop goes in. But now, I feel like I'll risk the laptop. The question was always going to be whether I would take the console with me, period.
I think you go for it.
Yeah.
I think the opening's there, the travel, not...
I'm there for a week plus.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do think that there will be... I don't know when you're leaving, but I'm assuming like Saturday, Sunday?
It's Friday afternoon, like 4.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, you're going to be spending all of Saturday, all of Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think by Tuesday, it's going to be a little bit less of, oh, look who's finally, look at Mr. Big Shot finally graced us with his presence from Houston. Now it is the novelty kind of wears off.
I wish that was the energy. It's generally a lot of we're going around to different spots saying hello. Mm-hmm. They're not coming to the house.
I'm making
all the trips. So, yeah, you're right. And that's the weekend. That weekend probably will be filled with that stuff.
And then you've got a whole week where I
need to occupy my time. So that's probably the plan. I just wanted to ask for someone who knows the importance of the game and everything else. Yeah.
Always be recruiting. Come on.
Understood.
Would Mario take a week off from recruiting?
No, he should for like some type of seminar on game day management.
Math and
game
plan.
I wish he would.
Math and clocks.
He wouldn't, but I wish he would. Just for a week to figure some things out about how to run your operation on a Saturday. You know, the most important day of every coach's week, but he doesn't. Hopefully the talent advantage overcomes the Mario disadvantage. We'll see with the Canes playing the Gators. And that's the first SEC on ESPN game with the new package. We know the 2:30 slot, at least locally. The 2:30 slot on CBS is the big game for CBS, or at least it used to be. Now, ESPN has that, and it'll be the first one of those. Florida hosting Miami, 2:30. Not this Saturday, but the Saturday afterwards. This Saturday, we got like four games. Georgia Tech and Florida State's the big one in Dublin, Ireland. Josh, you want to talk fantasy football names? We'll get to you right now. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. This might be a little right-leaning, but what do you think about the Stroud boys?
We have made that joke about the Texans themselves calling them that. Look, I don't know the composition of your fantasy league. Stroud boys sounds fine to me. I mean, it's not crazy to say. I mean, if you want to run with that, I commend you. You just have to deal with any potential fallout, which I don't think you'll have. It's just the name of a team.
I think you're in the clear on this one, Josh. I think it's a solid name.
Yeah, Proud Boys hasn't really latched on to something. People are like, hey, you can't talk about that. No, it's fine. It's fine. You're good. Do you have any other options, or is that your primary number one?
Primary, but I'm up for any suggestions.
Sean, you are a fantasy football player. I am not. Do you have a name in mind for your team?
No.
No?
I normally spend very little time.
Yeah,
it's normally like not part of the draft prep, but it's just as I'm signing in to do the draft, that's when I start thinking about it.
Makes sense. That would be my approach if I even put in any energy to make a team name or even accept an invitation to a league, which I don't have the time for, because clearly I'll be focusing on my dynasty in my week off. You know what? I don't want to interact with people. I just want to do this offline dynasty and recruit. I'm probably going to go with the mobile quarterback.
Your parents will understand.
Well, my dad's in Nigeria. I'm not answering to him. Well, my mom's like, are you hungry? Nah, I'm good. And then she's fine. Honestly. That's the whole experience for the most part, asking me whether I want to eat or not.
I have a question. When you take a week off, how long does it take for your sleep schedule to regulate from what it normally is?
You know, I do take melatonin gummies, so that helps me a little bit. But I'm at the point where now I have to stay up really late not to wake up before 7, even on vacation. Like, if I don't want to wake up at like 5 o'clock, even that's late for me as far as the show is concerned. I'll probably have to stay up to like 3.
Wow.
Just to not have to get up before the sun rises, because that sucks on a vacation. Waking up with the sun up in the sky is part of the whole vacation thing. So I don't want to get up in Florida for no reason and it'd be 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have to stay up late.
Okay. I was just wondering.
It hasn't ever. I would have to be out of this job for like a month probably before I stop getting up before sunrise. And that's my cross to bear, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dubon has his cross to bear. This is mine.
That's
early wake ups.
The sacrifices you make to make John and Lance happen.
I would choose a different sacrifice, honestly. Could I do something else to make that happen? John and Lance will be here next week, and they'll have Abigail in the control room where Sean is now producing that show. She's ready to go. She better be, because don't text me. Don't text or call me about something. I'll have her squared away before I leave, just to avoid any scenario where I'm being texted about something regarding John and Lance for the next 5 days, at least Monday through Friday of next week. Okay. Anyone else have fantasy names they want to ask about? That's fine. We were going to get to a couple things, but hey, the callers always take precedence. So if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. When we get back, we'll hear from Justin Verlander. He'll talk about his start yesterday. He lived up to our expectations, kept the team in the game, went 5 innings, only gave a couple runs, just didn't get enough support from his lineup. So Justin Verlander when we come back. And at some point, I did want to get to a flag football quarterback. I don't know if he – I don't know why he decided to mention Patrick Mahomes. Has he learned nothing from Noah Lyles? But flag football is coming to the Olympics, and the flag football players want the NFL players out of their sport. Good luck with all of that. So we'll get to that at some point, too. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Because of what I mentioned in the previous segment, I'm doing a deep dive on Darrell Doucette, who is the flag football quarterback who called out Patrick Mahomes. Well, he suggested that his IQ for flag football would make him a better option than Patrick Mahomes in the Olympics. And Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes did was quote tweet the video and use 50 cents. F me, what do you say F me for? That's been Patrick Mahomes' response since. Like, Patrick Mahomes, do we know if he would even want to play in the Olympics? Has he made comment on that? But he's the quarterback in question because he's the best quarterback in football.
I feel like all the NFL players had a tweet when this was announced being like, hell yeah.
Maybe he did it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be.
I don't know how serious. Like, I don't know. Does he have to contact someone or do they contact him?
Yeah, they probably call him. He's probably not making that call.
Or, I mean, after they call
Darrell Doucette.
Darrell Doucette, obviously. Do you want to back up and be mentored by Darrell Doucette?
Because he says his IQ for the game, at least in flag football, is better than yours. We'll play the sound from him a little bit. But I did say we get the Verlander here. Justin Verlander back with the Astros, had his first start. It was not like normal JV days. This one came with less fanfare. But it was another JV day. He was back with the Astros pitching. And he did fine. He did enough to win. He kept his team in the game. Five innings, just the two runs given up, about 75 pitches or so. So what you could ask for in his first start, he gave it to you. And we'll see how he progresses and builds up throughout the rest of the regular season. So here's Justin Verlander on his start yesterday.
I felt like the stuff was pretty good. And as the game went along, felt kind of the location started to hone in and mechanics felt good. So, was happy about it.
How encouraging was just the way that you finished those last three innings?
Like I said, things started to settle in a little bit. First inning, obviously Duran, super hot. Extends it into a double and then scores on a blooper. And, just trying to find my way. Obviously, it's not the way you want to start the game. But not like there was a ton of hard hit. Second inning, similar. And just kind of kept telling myself, all right, just find your groove. And went back out for the third and really started to find it and was able to settle in.
What did you do to be more economical through those last few innings?
Just backed off a little bit, honestly. Just adrenaline was pretty high the first inning or so. And felt like the ball was coming out good, so I was able to just relax a little bit and kind of not try to throw every fastball as hard as I could and locate a little bit better, and was able to do that.
Justin Verlander with the media yesterday after the Astros lose to the Red Sox and lose the series. His comments, he's always very measured in what he says. He's been doing it a long time. Not just pitching, just having these conversations with the media. He doesn't seem concerned, and he talked about, hey, Duran's really hot, but nothing hit very hard. And that's encouraging. The velocity is where it needed to be. And it's your first start back. I don't think the Astros could have asked for anything more. And we'll wait to see how the buildup ends and where he is once the playoffs hit. So Verlander loses, but honestly, at this point, when it comes to wins and losses, when all you're really doing is looking ahead to see if you can catch the AL leaders, I can't feel that bad about what happened yesterday because I just know the Mariners are going to lose too. That's what they've been over the last week and a half or so. And that's why the Astros are five games up on them. Okay, we're going to hear from Daryl Doucette here. I hope it's Darrell. I think I've said Darrell, now I just said Daryl. It feels like it's Darrell. Darrell Doucette is I didn't know of him beforehand, and why would you? How many of us were paying attention to flag football until we heard about it being in the Olympics, and then we heard some flag football people pop off, particularly Doucette, about why it's insulting that anyone would just assume that NFL players could take their spots. Here is Doucette on why he would be a better option for the event in the Olympics than Patrick Mahomes.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
That last part, reasonable. But when you led with, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes, that's where people probably aren't going to hear a word you say afterwards.
It's also like,
there's no need for it.
No, he can be right, but still wrong. Where I have no doubt that he has more IQ for the flag football game.
And understands it.
Than
yeah,
Pat
sure.
Mahomes. I don't think it matters, though, when Pat Mahomes starts throwing the football. Like, the general concept is pretty simple.
It is still football.
It is still football.
Seven on seven in training camp, I feel like is very relatively similar. Now, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to do all the running Doucette does. I watched the clips, and he had multiple highlight clips on his Instagram, and none of them featured him throwing the football. He is quick. He is hard to, can't say tackle, hard to have his flag grabbed, I guess is the terminology.
To bring down?
Not even. Probably a penalty if you bring a guy down in flag football. Like you said, he's more knowledgeable about the rules than Mahomes and myself at this point. But I just don't think a lot of it will have to do about, well, he's actually a better fit for the game. If they can get Patrick Mahomes to quarterback the flag football team, they're going to go with Patrick Mahomes. It makes sense for a lot of reasons. Even if Patrick Mahomes is the worst flag football quarterback we've ever seen, he's going to start in that game if he wants to play.
And even if you want to like comp him, like then okay, Pat Mahomes is a bad fit because he throws the football, I guess, and this guy doesn't. Lamar Jackson too. These guys outrun NFL defenses. I think they can outrun whatever flag football defense is being run out there.
But maybe him being 5'8", 140 pounds makes him more suited to avoid having his flag grabbed. I guess.
Then you know what? We can put Tank Dell at quarterback. Like there's no way you're telling me that this guy's a better athlete than NFL star athletes.
No.
If you're gonna make the athleticism like
I'm not saying that, but I will say he is a gifted athlete. Now, what that means as far as the comp, probably not great because Tank Dell's not giant and he's small himself and is an NFL player. So certainly Tank Dell's size hasn't kept him from playing in the NFL. I don't know what's kept Darrell Doucette from playing in the NFL. Being 140 pounds probably isn't helping. Yes, there's no winning here. He didn't learn from Noah Lyles. Sometimes you just know that the public perception isn't going to go your way. You just take a step back and go, you know what? I appreciate the interest. I would love to have an opportunity to play for my country in the Olympics. That's all you got to say, right? And you're good. You're good.
Yeah. I also feel like it would be better if he was like, I am willing to teach Patrick Mahomes.
Even if he says he's going to teach Patrick Mahomes, I think he gets in trouble.
The ways of flag football.
I would love to have Patrick Mahomes on the team.
I'd love to help prepare Patrick Mahomes to be ready.
Don't even say any of that. It goes poorly when you suggest, even if you're right, it goes poorly to suggest you can prepare Patrick Mahomes to play anything regarding football. Just say, Patrick Mahomes is a great player. I love to have him. That's all. And you're good. But unless you like the smoke, maybe he likes the smoke. And if he likes the smoke, say whatever you want.
Yeah. In the Noah Lyles vein, talk about him more when he talks about NFL players.
Sure.
Just like we talk about Noah Lyles, basically only when he's talking about NBA players.
Yeah, Noah Lyles has gone on to say he doesn't really know some of the players. Like, apparently, Tyreek Hill wants to race him. And Noah Lyles, that may be a thing at some point. And I think there was another player mentioned, and I don't even know who that is.
Oh, it was Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic. He says he doesn't know who Jokic is. So that's a move. I don't know who some of the famous athletes and the most famous athletes in the world are when I am an athlete myself.
Yeah. And
I had comments on a particular sport, but I don't know who the best player in that sport is.
And I'm also in a less famous sport than they are.
Yes.
And I don't know them.
Yes. But I do know they're not the world champions. But I don't know specific
players. But we should be more famous. But I think we know enough about Noah Lyles that all this comes down to Noah Lyles thinks sprinters should be more famous.
Or at least Noah Lyles should be more famous. I don't know if he cares about the rest of the sprinters.
Maybe I'm giving him too much nobility there.
Yeah. Maybe Noah Lyles should be more famous. It's not a battle he can win just because track isn't the sport we hold in such high esteem unless it's the Olympics. And even then, we'd rather watch the basketball team play. A lot of us would, at least. All right. That's our one out of the way. There is an accusation made by the Miami of Ohio coach about the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll get to that. In fact, maybe we just make this the next segment, our college football segment for the day, because Kirk Ferentz has been suspended for a game along with one of his assistants for maybe I wouldn't say one of the worst players to have to be suspended for, but I think it's a waste of time. If you're Kirk Ferentz and you're committing recruiting violations for Cade McNamara, maybe reevaluate. Because what we're going to do is close the loop on that story, because we talked about Cade McNamara before. We played the sound about his awful practice. So we'll play it again, and we will kind of break down what Kirk Ferentz is facing over this particular quarterback. And we'll also get to the sound about Alabama stealing from Miami of Ohio. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.